I'm going to do something. Hey, I thought I was just talking soft. I was talking soft. I'm still processing the beginning of the service. I'll get ramped up here in a second. Just give me a couple minutes. I would like us to do something this morning. I don't often do this, but I just need to kind of test the spirit in the room real quick, if that's okay with you. So I'd like everyone to close your eyes, and I want you to bow your head, because I don't want any peeking on this. Close your eyes, bow your head. I'm just going to ask some questions, and if it's you, I just invite you to put your hand up and just keep it up here real quick. If you have struggled in a relationship this week, just put your hand up and keep it up. If you have struggled with your job this week, put your hand up and keep it up. If you need two hands, you can use two hands. If you have struggled with addictions or sin this week that just kind of grips a hold of you, put your hand up and keep it up. If you have struggled with trying to prioritize God first this week, put your hand up and keep it up. Okay, you can go ahead and put it down. Keep your eyes closed. Put your hands down, eyes closed. All right, you can open up your eyes. Thanks for that. This message is a message that I needed to hear this morning, and a message that I preached, of course, but it's one that kind of grabbed a hold of me. And just by asking those questions, it looks like all of us need to hear this this morning. So just be attentive, and I'm in a weird space right now, so if I get a little bit weirder, which is highly unlikely for me to get any weirder than I already am, just know that, okay? After high school, I think I've shared a lot with you all before, I went into Brethren Volunteer Service, and when I was in Brethren Volunteer Service, I worked at a camp down in Kiesel Town called Brethren Woods, and it's one of my favorite places on earth. I mean, it's probably in my top five. And while I was down there during BVS, I would clean up after groups, after the week, so I'd be in there mopping bathrooms and stuff. That's why I don't like to clean bathrooms a whole bunch right now, or sweep, or do really any kind of housework. I do some, but I don't like to do it, okay? But, you know, I just, it's one of those things where if you clean up after a lot of people for a long time, it just gets annoying. So I would do that, and I would get to do a little bit of minor construction, which is always fun, you know, your hammers and nails and all that stuff. One of the things I loved to do was take people out on, like, high ropes course and training events and stuff like that. And I helped to build the high ropes course down there. And so there's one time in particular that I remember that we were out. I was probably 19 years old or so. And it was a bunch of college girls. So, you know, I was all excited, you know. And so I had a bunch of college girls out. And we were doing the low ropes course, doing trust falls and all of these kinds of things. And I'm just, this is the greatest day of my life, right? And so we were doing all that. And then at the end of that, I had to strap them all up in their harnesses. And I took them up 40 feet in the air. And they would do the high ropes course. And there's one point in that high ropes course that there's this event called the heebie-jeebies. Okay? Now, if you think about this, I want you to picture this in your mind. There's an aircraft cable on the bottom and an aircraft cable up top, okay, and you're hooked in from the top, and then there's these two, like, ropes that start on either end that come down, and they cross in the middle, and you have to get from one side to the other. And so you can imagine you're kind of holding these ropes, and you're kind of going down, and you're going down. You have to get to the middle, and you have to, like, switch ropes so that you can go up to the other side. Well, it just happened to be that there was one girl one time who was doing the heebie-jeebies, and she was going down, and she was going down, and she was going down. She stopped. And, you know, there's probably about five or six other people on the events, different events and everything. And I'm watching this girl, and she fell. And with both arms, she is holding on with a grip of death to this bottom cord, this bottom aircraft cable. And I was kind of watching her and seeing what she was going to do, she just didn't have the strength to pull herself up. She was kind of just hanging there, one arm over, trying to get the grip. Well, I had to get everybody off the course, and I had to go out there and, like, rescue this girl. So what I had to do is I had to climb out on the course, and I had to hook up a belay line up to the top aircraft cable. I had to reach down. I mean, again, reach down, hook it into her thing, had her kind of screw it tight herself, make sure she's okay. I had to get off the course down to the ground, and I had belay equipment on, and I was like, let go. And of course, she's like, there is no way in HE double hockey sticks that I'm letting go of this thing. And so I have her on here, and I pulled as tight as I can. I said, just sit back, just let go. And finally, she let go. And it's been a life lesson for me in that way, because I wonder how many times we like to hold on to something, even though letting go is the best option that we have. We grab a hold of things. She needed to let go. She needed to release this grip of death. She needed to release her fears and her worries, her need to control. She needed to release everything and trust that I would have her, that I wasn't going to let her down. Now, my guess is that many of us, well, I know because most of you raised your hands, 90% of you did, that letting go and releasing things to God is one of the most difficult things we can do. It's one of the toughest things we can do because, you know, God's not sitting right next to us. And, we can't just like, here you go. It's a mental exercise. It's a spiritual exercise that we have to go through to let go of something and give it over to God. And so it becomes more difficult for us. It's easy for me to give a piece of paper to Mason here, but it's difficult for me to give Mason my heart or my mind or my thoughts. It's a difficult moment in your life. And so when we're talking about spiritual things, when we're talking about letting go of those things that are deep within us, it's vitally important to recognize that God desires us to just let go. Amen? All right. The scripture today is driving us to these final words of Jesus. And I want you to listen to these words again. It was about noon. Darkness came over the whole land until it was 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, right? And Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, right? And when he said this, he breathed his last, and the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. And all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw that took place. They went away beating their breasts, but all who knew him, including the women who came from Galilee, stood at a distance and watched these things. There's a number of weeks in this scripture verse. I mean, we could preach this for the next 5 weeks, but I want to recap for you what's going on here. So Jesus was on the cross, and he was coming to the end. The reason that he was there was about ready to be accomplished, right? And the scripture picks up at this point where there's this line between life and death, and it's become blurred for Jesus, and Jesus is kind of in the midst of this. The temple curtain has been torn in two, right? And this is significant because it was the temple, the curtain was what separated people from God. So the temple was, the curtain was torn in two, and we have direct access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of, we have direct access to God at this point, right? And it's significant, and the curtain tears in two and shows us that Jesus, through his death on the cross, with the weight of sin upon him, tore this barrier between us and God forever and always. Like, we don't have to have anybody go between us and God. It's all us and God. It's right there. And Jesus was at the very end of this moment of what he was supposed to do, what God had called him to do, and he finishes this redeeming task, and he says to God, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, this is a verse that actually is taken from an Old Testament verse as well. The phrase of Jesus is found in Psalm 31, verse 5. Jesus adds the word Father because, well, God's Jesus' Father. So that was one way of responding to that. But the verse was a prayer that every Jewish mother would teach their children right before they went to sleep at night. I mean, we do that with our kids, right? Now I lay me down to sleep, right? I mean, it's the same kind of thing. Every Jewish mom would teach every Jewish child to say this right before night came. They would say, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus makes it even lovelier by adding this word, Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And it's this image of Jesus being wrapped up in the Father's arms, about him letting go. And I want you to notice something. once again, in this passage, Christ goes back to saying Father. That's really important because before this, if you look at the scriptures before this, one of the phrases he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Notice he doesn't say, Dad, Dad, why have you forsaken me? He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that point, we feel this distance between God and Jesus. And Jesus could not refer to God as Father during that time because there was a separation between he and God, just for a short time. However, at this point, this connection is rekindling, and Jesus looks to God and he says, Father, into your hands. Jesus was about ready to die, and when that moment came, Jesus' purpose on earth had been accomplished. And because it has been accomplished, Jesus is able to kind of return to this love relationship with God. Jesus, in his death, was restored into fellowship with God. And so in that fellowship, we see Christ entrusting his spirit into the hands of the Father that would never let him go. Friends, how do we live a life of surrender that Jesus exemplifies in this passage? You see, I believe Jesus knows things that we need to learn from pretty much everywhere. And I believe that Jesus teaches us in this verse that God's hands are trustworthy. Can I get an amen on that? You know, Christ had no problem putting his life in God's hands because he knew that there were no better hands than the Father's hands to be put into. Right? I mean, he knew that God would take care of everything. It's just like a child falling asleep in dad's arms. I mean, it's just one of those moments. It's total trust. It's total comfort. I mean, we need to know that we can entrust our spirit, that we can entrust every part of our lives into the Father's hands because there's no one more trustworthy than God. And when you truly entrust your spirit to the hands of God, to God, then you will entrust every part of who you are to God, not just your spirit. It's everything you live, everything you breathe, everything you are gets entrusted into the hands of God. Now, you remember Allstate commercials, you know, and you're in good hands with Allstate. I can't get lower than that. You're in good hands with Allstate. He's really low, but he talks about how you're in good hands with Allstate, and they became the good hands people, right? And that was their motto. That's what they said. You know, you can trust us. You can believe in us. When you get in an accident, you come to us. Everybody knew that you were in good hands with Allstate, right? But I'm here to tell you that there's no hands that Allstate has, there's no hands that we have that is more trustworthy and more strong and more loving and caring and accountable than the hands of God. But there are people who are afraid to put their trust. There are people who are afraid to put their lives in God's hands. Some are scared because they're not sure what God might have them do, right? I mean, when you put your trust in God and you put your life in God's hand, God might ask you to do some things that you really don't want to do, right? I mean, for me, my word this year, I'm not going to tell you what it is. God has told me, Brian, you need to do this. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. This is like anti-Brian word, right? And so God might tell you to do things that you need to do in life. God might call you to do things that you... So when you put your life in him, when you put your trust in him, when you put your spirit in him, he might tell you to do things, and we don't like that, right? We like to be in control. I want to be in control. I want to choose my own word, God, and this is my word. I mean, that's the way we want to do it, right? Others won't put their lives in God's hands or their spirit in God's hands because they're not ready to take their hands off the steering wheel. And I don't like this song, but Jesus take the wheel. You know, that's the image here. I mean, it's you take your hands off. God's going to take care of it, right? But where are you this morning? Do you truly trust the hands of God? And all of us are saying, you bet I do. I mean, it's all right here, right? You feel it in your heart that you do. You want to. You feel it in your spirit like you want to trust in God. But goodness, it's a long road to get up to here and actually do it. It's a long road to get to these things and these guys down here to really trust God with your life and who you are. Do you really release everything to him? Into your hands I commit my spirit is what it says. I mean, hands that are strong, hands that are never let you go, hands that are trustworthy, hands that have stayed and they're strong. And no matter what has gone on, Jesus took this trip. And because of that trip to the cross, God's hands are so strong and ready to grab a hold of life. I mean, I believe many times we don't trust because we don't know the magnitude of what God can do. I mean, we think that our troubles are too great for someone else to handle, that we think that if we can just maintain control, that for some things, that we can make them work out for the best for us. And friends, from my experience, let me tell you that the more you try and grab a hold of something, the more we trust our own hands to do the work that God should be doing, the more times we're going to falter and fail and eventually lose hope and trust in anything and anyone. Believe me. When we try and grab a hold of things ourselves, we are going to lose faith in everything and everyone, including ourselves. But the miraculous part of it is, Jesus, while giving his life up for us, released himself to God, gave himself to God, surrendered himself to God. You can trust God. You can trust that God has strong hands. You can trust that God has a plan, that God will guide you, that God will direct you, that God will protect you. Scriptures are littered with these kinds of reflections, right? None is greater than my favorite verse that's found in Jeremiah chapter 29. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Let's read that together. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." I mean, the scripture isn't just for Jeremiah. It's for each of us, right? I mean, God can be trusted with our lives, our spirit, right? I mean, that's what it says. I mean, he has a plan for our lives, and he will cause our lives to prosper, right, not to harm. He has a plan that will bring hope into our lives. Yet some of us just don't commit our lives to Christ. We don't commit our full life to God, right? And so we're so set on charting our own course that we refuse to put things down into the hands of God and what he has for us. And listen to what God says to the Israelites when they refuse to trust God and to be held in his hand. Isaiah 65, verse 2, it says this, "All day long I have held up my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations." Ooh. That happens today, right? God's holding out his hands and he's saying, put your life in my hands. I mean, put your spirit in my hands. Put your relationships in my hands. Put your finances in my hands. Put your work in my hands. Put your health issues in my hands. Put all these things in my hands, and I'm going to take care of it. You got to trust me. But instead, we continue to pursue our own desires and our own wants and our own imaginations. And some of you out there might say, "Well, see, Brian, I have seen people who have entrusted their life to the hands of God, and bad things happen to them just like they do anything else." And it's true that when we entrust our lives to the hands of God, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have bad things happen to us. We live in a fallen, broken world, friends. When people say, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" I say, sin happens. That's what it is. I'm human. I'm faltering. I'm going to fail. I'm going to hurt other people. It's just the reality of what life is. But in the midst of all that, when tragedy strikes our life, and God can take that tragedy, and I believe in every single tragedy in our life, God can bring it to good. It may be through tragedy that God uses us and shapes us to be more like his son Jesus. We don't know what he may do to use this tragedy that we've been through for good, but he has promised us that he will work it out for his good, right? Just like David said, "Blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust." Have you made the Lord your trust this morning? This morning would be a great time for you to say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. To your hands I give you everything." How do we do that, though? How do we release ourselves to God's hands? I mean, we talk about trust. It's about trusting God and knowing God is more capable than anything that we can possibly do. I mean, it's knowing, it sounds simple, and we can say yes, like with our hearts and our spirit, we desire to do that. But again, that traveling thing, it just stops like somewhere around here, and it just doesn't get up to the head of actually doing something about it. But I want to give you a few things. This past year, these are three things that I worked on to try and release more, to try and surrender more to God. So number one, ready? Read scriptures. Oh, Brian, I read the scriptures all the time. I get it. Find a person who surrenders to God often and read that person and get to know that person, dive deep into the life of that person. People like Job or Paul or Joseph. I mean, actually, mine was Joseph. I spent a lot of time in Joseph this past year. And look at what God teaches them and how they surrender their will to what God is calling them to do. They will reveal the trust they had in God and how God worked in and through their lives, as Romans 8:28 shares, right, for God's good. Number two, surrender something to God this week and don't dwell on it. Yeah, you all were like with me until that last part, weren't you? Oh, I can surrender to God this week, and I will think about it constantly. No, surrender something to God this week, and then don't dwell on it, right? I mean, are you holding a grudge in a relationship? Are you having a situation that you need something guidance on? Are you giving it up to God? Are you surrendering those things to God? And you don't have to hold on to every little thing that comes your way every moment. You don't have to do that. I don't have to hold on to every little thing that comes my way. I can let go of it. Take something each day and just let go of it. Just say, God, I'm not dealing with this today. Please take it from me. I'm going to surrender this to you. And the third thing is to commit 7 hours a week to God. Okay, 7 hours a week, 1 hour a day. You can do the math, right? Seven every day, 7 days a week, 1 hour a day. All right? And, you know, I'm a pastor, and, you know, I commit my whole life to God, right? I mean, every day, every moment of every, and that's not true. There are times that I'm not always committing everything to God, right? And so, but I take an extra 7 hours above and beyond what I do here at church. I take an extra 7 hours and I commit that to God, right? Think about it. Committing one's spirit is the deepest part of their being, right? The core of who you are, and committing something 1 hour a day to every, and some of you are going to say, but Brian, we're supposed to commit our whole lives to God, right? I mean, and I would agree with that. And if you can do that, and if you can fully commit your life to God, and you don't do anything for yourself, you do everything for God, and you keep God at the center of everything that you are, that would be amazing. I mean, you commit your time and your resources and your life and your family, your work. You commit everything to God. That's amazing. Please come and see me after church. We're going to write a book. We're going to make a ton of money, and you're preaching next week. Kim's preaching next week. See, that's no, but if you can surrender everything to God, then you're the one who needs to be up here. My guess is that we all struggle with that. Yeah, I mean, we all struggle with surrendering everything to God. So if you're willing to surrender just a little bit more this week, willing to let go just a little bit more this week, and let God take over your life, your hearts, just who you are. Just surrender it, to give it to Him. For 7 hours this week, right? I want you to do something for God. I want you to read. I want you to pray. I want you to serve. I want you to encourage. I want you to give. Whatever it takes, do it and begin that journey of commitment, that journey of surrender to God. And that's what I believe the Scripture is teaching us, right? Surrender. You know, the willingness of the Son to surrender to the Father, the willingness of Jesus to take the things that we have done that have separated us from God upon Himself and surrender to God, to just surrender. And Jesus doesn't say, I'm giving myself to you, God, on my terms. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and to do with what you wish. I desire to obey you because I trust you, because you are God. I'm willing to release all of that. And that's what I think Scripture is talking about. It's about surrender. It's about commitment. How do we live out each day like Jesus as we surrender to Him? Now, I could just stop here and let you all out a little early, but I have something else I need to say, of course, right? And something that's been dwelling in me, in my heart this week, and it's something that I hadn't spent a whole bunch of time on before, but this image of the hands of God is just has been a powerful image for me this week. I mean, easily Jesus could have said, God, I commit to you my spirit. And that could have been it, right? I mean, he could have said that, and wow, that would have been powerful. But Jesus doesn't say anything unless there's some kind of intention behind it. And so just in the couple of minutes remaining here, I want you to ponder with me these hands of God. See, God's hands throughout Scripture are used for so many things. They're hands that can be trusted. They provide security. They're wrathful hands. If you look at a lot of things in the Old Testament, and I guess the image I wanted to leave you with this morning is I want you to think about God's hand as hands of comfort. This week, like a loving God, God's hands wrap around us and hold us close, And just because you find yourself in the hands of God, the secure hands, his truthful hands, his comfort hands, does not mean that everything is going to be rainbows and Skittles for you. It's not going to be rosy and smooth for you. It's going to be tough. It's still going to be tough. For example, Joseph, he was in the hands of God, yet went through a lot of trials and tribulation before he became second in command in Egypt. Job was in the hands of God, yet he experienced trials and tribulations, even the death of his children within a 24-hour period. The three Hebrew boys were in the hands of God, but they found themselves in the fiery furnace. Daniel was in the hands of God, but he found himself in the lion's den, right? I mean, John the Baptist was in the hands of God. He was beheaded, for goodness sakes. I mean, the Apostle Paul found himself in the hands of God, but he was shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, whipped, thrown into a prison, all for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, just because you're in the hands of God doesn't exempt you from persecution, from troubles, from setbacks and pain. But yet, when you face these trials and tribulations in life, the hands of God are what carries us through the storms and what carries us through the trials and the tribulations and the setbacks and the troubles. I mean, can you just picture God holding you with his strong, firm hands when you face the trials, to be held when the waves are really high and you're not sure where to go, to feel secure and held by an omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful God, comforted by the one who created all things. I mean, do you have the image in your head of being held? You know, it's a good thing that when you have messed up and when we're broken and when your life has broken you into pieces by the storms of this life, that God doesn't just cast us down. He lifts us up by his hand. In fact, the scriptures talk about his righteous right hand and how he lifts us up. And God does not cast us down. You see, our lives can be broken, and what's broken, it's like a broken vase that falls off the shelf, right? I mean, instead of throwing the vase away, the owner kind of goes by and gets some good super glue, some Gorilla Glue even. That's even the best glue, apparently. And he puts it all together, and he puts it back together again. And sometimes when our lives are shattered and when our lives are broken, God takes this glue, which is the foundation of Christ and the Holy Spirit, and he pieces us back together again into a magnificent vase that he sets right in front of him to display for all to see. And Jesus Christ is the one who glues us together. The Spirit continues to work within us and challenge us. And when we release ourselves, God's hands comfort us and encourage us. And I need to hear this message this morning. And life is hard and the world is hard, and often we feel alone and feel as though the hands of God are not right with us. And rather, the hands of this world have a grip on our lives. And there's a message for you this morning, right? That Jesus, while on the cross, I mean, he's on the cross, he gave up his spirit to be held in the hands of God. And these hands are trustworthy hands. They're hands of protection. They're hands of comfort. So friends, you are not alone this morning. God's hands got you. You know, you're not alone because of what Jesus did on the cross. You're not separated from God. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. His righteous right hand will hold you close no matter what you think you might be going through. And again, that's why I did it, what I did in the beginning, because everybody is struggling right now at some point. I mean, whether it's in your relationship with God or others or health or work, no matter what you're going through, what's affecting you this morning, God is right here with his hands held out for you. He wants you to commit to him. He wants you to surrender to him. He wants you to give him your life. And it's because he's so loving and he just desires the very best for you, that he believes that when he has you wrapped around in his arms, that transformation will occur, and that hope will be restored, and that love will be abundant. So let's follow Jesus' lead this morning, right? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Let's pray together. Holy, wonderful God, we desire to surrender to you this morning. We desire to give you our whole life. But God, perhaps this morning we just need to think about 1 hour each day and how we let go. That we just need to surrender our lives to you just a little bit more, to give you a little bit more, to release our spirit to you a little bit more, to release our family to you a little bit more, to release our health to you, release our work to you, release our relationships to you just a little bit more this week. God, perhaps this week we need to just stop always dwelling on things that have no eternal consequence, but dwell on the things that bring us peace and hope, which is found in you. And so God, may we just release those things to you. And God, may we read deeply the scriptures and how throughout all the scriptures you have time after time taught and encouraged people to let go and let you take a hold of their lives. So God, no matter where we are this morning, if we're in that valley or on the mountaintop, if we're kind of worried about some things and not other things, no matter where we are, God, that we just surrender all things to you. And God, it's a baby step, right? It's just one little step in our relationship with you. One little step as we're kind of under construction during this time, that our hearts are being rebuilt in a way that honors and praises you and lifts up one another. So God, help us to surrender. Help us to let go. God, help us to release. For we pray these things in the name of the one who went to the cross, who tore the curtain in two, who brought us into relationship with you forevermore, Jesus the Christ, and all God's people say, amen. Thank you.